this morning. If you're joining us for the first time, and you're like, oh great, they're talking about giving again. Well, your timing is perfect. I don't speak on it very often, and you just happen to pick the four Sundays that we're going to be talking about generosity, about learning to give and loving to give. It's a subject that we, if we're honest, we all struggle with in some way, shape, or form. We've either struggled with it, we're struggling with it, or maybe we'll struggle with it after this series. You know, when Karen and I first heard, well, I had heard it before as a kid, but as a married couple, when we first heard the topic of giving, something happened. There was this little bit of twinge in the heart, this tweaking and twisting of deep down knowing inside what God was asking us to do, but deep down, deep inside, struggling with what He's asking us to do. It's pretty much how God does. He asks us to do things that, quite frankly, we struggle with, but when we give into those things, when we do what God expects of us, He blesses us. That's God's pattern. God doesn't bless disobedience. God doesn't bless when we begrudgingly give. And when Karen and I first started giving, we had heard this passage, and we'll talk about it some this morning, in Malachi that says, God says, test me in this. And so we were sensing this inside of us, and so we decided to step out in faith and begin to test God in the tithe. And we're going to be talking about what that actually is. And let me tell you this, and I can tell you this with a straight face and with a pure heart. Ever since Karen and I have given, we have never had all we wanted. But we have always had more than what we need. Now, I want you to think about that a second. Because I'm a needy person. There's a lot of things I would like to have. But we've never had all we wanted, but we have always had more than we need. That's God's way of doing things. He is our provider. He is our Jehovah Jireh. He is the one that meets our needs more than we can even think or imagine, because He knows best not what we want, but what we need. And the Bible says this in Psalm 37:4. He says that if we will first, there's an if. Anytime you see an if, there's an and or a but. And if you will, your desires of the heart, if you'll delight in me, He says, I will give you the desires of your heart. Now, here's the truth in that, because I'm like, yeah, you know, there's a mid-engine Corvette coming out in 2020. No, it doesn't work that way. See, when we delight ourselves in Him, we gain His heart. And it's that heart, when we begin to have His heart, He begins to fulfill the desires of our heart, which is the desires of His heart. And God's, one of His crucial characteristics is He is a God of giving. God loves to give. He sent His only begotten Son so that whosoever believeth might not perish but have everlasting life. And we all struggle with this. I get it. And so, you know, I just will tell you, for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about not what Jay McFadden says, but what the Bible says about generosity. What the Bible says. Last week, we talked about the basis of giving. God is the basis of giving. Jesus Christ is the model of giving, and He expects us to be a part of giving. That's what God expects of us, because that's, I mean, if he asked His Son to do it, to give, and He didn't just give some, He gave all. And God expects us. You know, I love when I start talking about giving, you could almost hear a pin drop if we didn't have carpet floors. It gets real quiet. So here's what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to ask Pastor David to stand right here, and I'm going to ask him to pray over this service, because we need a God word. We need a God word in this area, because listen, no one wants anybody to give out of manipulation. God wants you to give out of His generosity and out of your love for Him. Would you pray for us, Pastor David?
Yes, sir. Father God, we thank You for Your righteousness through Jesus Christ. We thank You that as we listen to this service, Father God, that we will be reminded of one very important thing, that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. And out of your generosity, Father God, and your desire to save us and have a relationship with us, you did this. So not only that you would be glorified, that we would be blessed, and that we would become the people of God. And I pray now, Heavenly Father, that as we begin to listen to this word today, that you will gather and capture all those thoughts that are irrelevant to today's message, Father God. I pray that you will open our hearts to receive and make our hearts fertile ground, Father God. And I pray that we listen with the intent to act upon what it is that you are causing us to do and that you are calling us to, Father. And I pray that when we leave this place, Heavenly Father, that we will be so unselfish and that we'll be reminded of the continuous acts of yourself, of how you give to us on a daily basis, how you love us, you give love to us, you give us joy, you give us peace. Lord, you give us provision and that you give us the ability to make wealth, Father God, that we could come back and give to you. And I know that there are things that we think could hinder that, but Father God, I pray you give us an ability to trust you in this area like we never have before and be obedient, because we know that obedience, Father God, is greater than the sacrifice. So help us in these areas, Father God, and I pray you bless Pastor Jay, that you will give him the words to say and that you will meet us at the very point of our need through Pastor Jay, Heavenly Father. Just let your spirit rise up in him and open us up to receive the word for us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray, Father God, and trust it all. Amen.
All God's people said, amen. So it's going to be a great service if we'll listen. Every time I talk about giving, I have this image. Most people know that I'm a big Peanuts fan, not the kind you eat, but Snoopy and, you know, the Red Baron and Charlie Brown. And when I start talking about giving, my mind sometimes has this image of God's people looking up and listening to the Word of God, and they're hearing Charlie Brown's elementary school teacher. Wah, 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 wah. And there's nothing intelligible about it. And so I hope that, put aside your struggle, put aside your fear, put aside your anxiousness, and just allow God to sweep over your heart this morning as we go to His Word and see what it says. And I've picked a couple of scriptures that we're going to kind of mold all of this around, and we have a lot more scriptures. But I want one from the Old Testament, one from the New. And King Solomon, the wisest man ever to walk the face of the earth outside of Jesus Christ, wrote these words in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Now, let me highlight that, because words mean something. It'd be really great for me to say, Brother Gary, honor the Lord with your possessions. But if you look at this, he's talking to us. So what I have to do is replace your with Jay. Honor the Lord with Jay's possessions. And with the first produce of the entire harvest. Now, this is a promise verse, guys. It says, and gals, then your barns will be completely filled, and your vats will overflow with new wine. There is, if you'll do this, I will do this. And then in Matthew 23:23, from the words of Jesus Christ himself, he was talking to religious people. They didn't have a problem necessarily with the tithe, but they, as Pastor Aleem said, they had a heart problem. They gave, but their heart wasn't honoring God. And here's what he said. Woe to you, Jesus. Now, I would think if Jesus told me these words, I would think, caution, danger, Will Robinson. Now, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, religious people, hypocrites. You pay a tenth, that's a tithe, of mint and dill and cumin, yet you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, faith. These are all service matters. These things should have been done. The tithing on the things of what they had. You should have done those. Jesus affirms the tithe in Matthew 23:23, but you shouldn't also neglect, you should have been done without neglecting the others. Now this morning, everybody has a view on tithing. What we need to gain is God's view on timing. Amen. That's where we need to get to and move towards, is what does God want us to do about tithing? So there's several things I want to talk to you about tithing. Number one, the tithe is timeless. The tithe is timeless. This paradigm of giving starts at the very beginning in Genesis. The paradigm, if you will, of giving these first fruits was established by God in the garden. And I want you to hear these words. Genesis 4, 1 through 5. Adam was intimate with his wife Eve. That's a good thing. She conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have had a male child with the Lord's help. Everything that God gave her, including a son, she gave honor to God. Then she also gave birth to his brother Abel. Now here we go. Now Abel became a shepherd of flocks, but Cain worked the ground. What I want you to notice here is that both were hard workers. You cannot shepherd the flock and the animals without hard work. You cannot till the ground without hard work. Both were hard workers. And so it says, in the course of time, Cain presented, as the harvest came, some of the land's produce as an offering to the Lord. There are a lot of church folks that give some back to the Lord. But I want you to notice what God at the very beginning blesses. He goes on, he says, and Abel also presented an offering, some of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. Here we see this concept, this precept of giving of first fruits. And here's what the Bible says. The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but he did not have regard for Cain and his offering. He finishes up, says, Cain was furious and he looked despondent. When we're not doing what God wants us to do by honoring him with everything that he's given us, I promise you, you're not going to be happy. That's a guarantee. You're going to be just like Cain. But we see here that Abel gave of his first fruits. And we see that it was established in Genesis. You say, well, that's really not a tithe. No, it's more than a tithe, really a first fruits. But we see that not only was the tithe started there, but it was exemplified in as we go a little further through the pattern of Melchizedek. And here's what the Bible says. Genesis 14:20. I keep saying that because I want you to know what the Bible says. He, Melchizedek, blessed him, Abraham, and he said, Abram is blessed by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and I give praise to God Most High who has handed over your enemies to you. And Melchizedek, which means king of righteousness, he was a forerunner, if you will, a foreexample of Jesus Christ. He says to him, you are blessed, and I give praise to God for you. And as a response, Abram gave him a what? Tenth. Tenth means tithe. And we're going to talk about that. Tenth means tithe. But God, in this recognition that the king of righteousness in the Old Testament, Melchizedek, put blessings upon Abram, and Abram, because he was blessed, responded through giving. How can we be blessed the way that we are and not respond through giving? Not just of tithe, but of our time and our talents and serving and giving. And so it says, and Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. We have a lot of folks that we want to spend all the bills and pay all the bills first, and then we'll tithe on the leftovers. You know, after a few days, leftovers aren't any good, amen? Now, I like leftovers, but not after about 3 or 4 days, even with modern technology. God blesses first fruits and giving in response to his blessing. Now, the practice of tithing, you may or not, may not agree, but it's not with me, it's with the Bible. Because the process or the practice of giving, tithing, is expected. Malachi chapter 3, the verse that I talked to you about in the beginning, verses 8 and 9, God is asking Malachi this question for the people of Israel, for the children of God. He said, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. You ask, how do we rob you? And he says it right there. He says, by not making the payments of the tenth and the contributions, not by not giving of your tithes and offerings. That's how we rob God, he says. You are suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. You're suffering, you're not happy, you're always wanting more, it's never going to be enough, and you don't understand that that's a curse, but you continue, don't recognize where the solution to the problem lies, and that is by modeling what I have already modeled to you. And then you say, well, that's an Old Testament principle. Again, I just read to you Matthew 23:23. Nowhere in Scripture will you find that Jesus abolished the tithe. Nowhere. Bring your Bible and let's get on it, because I'll just tell you, you can come talk to me, but we're going to go to the Bible. Jesus never negated the tithe. And the word tithe literally means 10%. And if it's first fruits, then you got to put it in our language. It's from the gross, not the net. It's not the afterwards. It's the first fruits. Tithing 5% or 2% or 3% is not a tithe. It's robbing God. A tenth is a tenth according to the Word of God. Tithing 5% or less than 10% is like saying, you know what, last year, Brother Jay, I only broke into 6 ATMs. But with God's help, I'm only going to break into 3 this year. We're robbing God. We're still robbing God, although we're trying to kind of just shuffle into it a little bit so we get credit. 10% is what God puts together. Would you agree with me? What God does is perfect. That was a little light. What God does is perfect. Yeah. 10% was established by God, and it's the great equalizer. It's not equal giving. It's equal sacrifice. It's a straight across. It's equal to everybody. And God allows everybody to be stewards of the 90%. Can I just tell you, he gives us more leftovers than we give him. Can I get a witness to that? I mean, come on now. 10% is the ultimate equalizer. It's not equal giving, but equal sacrifice. And another thing about tithing, it is to be given, not controlled. See, here's the problem. I run into a lot of folks that when we talk about this, they get real uncomfortable and they begin to try to justify. Well, I give 10%, but I'm going to control where it's given. Where is that in Scripture? Your offering you can control, but your tithe is to be brought into the storehouse, and the storehouse is represented by God's house. You go back to the Old Testament, and we see, another example of what it's is supposed to look like. You remember when Joseph got held in captivity, and he went to jail, and then he rose to the second highest in command of Egypt, and he had people bring their grains together to a central location where it could be distributed out. Had the people of Egypt said, no, I'm not going to contribute to the storehouse, Egypt would have died. The people of Israel would have died. They had no place where it could be distributed. The problem is, like Pastor Aleem said, it's a trust issue. It's a trust issue. So the tithe, you're not giving to the church. You're giving to God, and it's his ministry through the church that you're giving to. We got to give to God first. And we let go of it. Now, I have to tell you, I agree. Sometimes, you know, you hear these stories about guys driving jet planes and going all over the world, and they abuse that. Well, God's going to judge them. When I stand before God, I wouldn't want to be in their seat. Now, it doesn't mean we're not to be good stewards, and we are to hold each other accountable. And we need to do that, and you need to be in a church that's accountable for what it spends. Can I just tell you, Connect Church, you're in a church where we're accountable to what we spend. We don't live extravagantly. We pay the bills. And we've so far, got with God's help, we've paid every bill. But we are. If everybody gave, and let's say you're a 10% controller, you give 2% to this place, 2% to this, 2% to that, and you go on. If everybody gave just like you in that manner, we'd have to close up shop. And the reason is, it's a heart problem, because we want to be in control. We don't want to release and trust God enough to trust his bride. That's a scary concept, isn't it? Well, we say we trust God, but we won't trust his bride. You think God's big enough to take care of somebody that's fleecing money from the church? Tithe is not the beginning, or is the beginning, not the end. Tithing is not the ceiling of our giving. It's the foundation of our giving. We begin with a tithe. We don't end there. You say, oh boy, he's going to ask for more. No, you got to do what God wants you to do. Hear what he said in the tithe. Just understand, tithing is a test. Now, how many of you despise tests? Come on now. I hated taking tests. But this is a different kind of test, because God is saying, you test me and see what I'll do. The problem is we don't trust him enough with passing the test, because we know in our hearts we don't pass the test. So somehow in our weird way of thinking, we don't believe God is trustworthy and that he'll pass the test. But listen to what he says in 3:10. Bring the full tenth into the storehouse. And what I was talking about distributing, bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, so that God's house can be provided for. Test me in this way. Test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. Tithing tests our hearts. Tithing tests our hearts to reveal, number one, our obedience to God. Show me in the scripture where he's negated the tithe. Tithing tests our heart and what we truly believe about God and how we obey. How many of you, has anybody here had a package stolen off your porch? Anybody? You see it on television, you know, where somebody comes up and they see your package and they take it. And there's a name they call them. They call them porch pirates. Church is full of porch pirates. We're stealing something that doesn't belong to us in the first place. And we get mad at things when somebody steals your Amazon package. And we don't expect God to not be disappointed and frustrated and possibly angry because we're stealing from him. It doesn't belong. None of it belongs to us. He gives it all to us. The tithing tests our obedience. It tests our faith in God. Do we really deep down inside believe that God will supply all of our needs? Seriously, let's just be honest with one another. I sat right there in those chairs before I surrendered to full-time ministry and to preaching ministry. I would sit there and I'm like, I don't think I can do this. And deep down inside, the root of that very statement is the fact, God, I don't trust you enough to do what you promised. And that's what the problem with the church of today is, we don't trust God enough to do his part. It also tests our love of God and his bride. What does it really say about me and about you, about us, when we don't support the church, God's bride? It's not reflecting on him, it's reflecting on us. And God expects us, and it tests our strongholds. I remember we had been overseas for 27 years, and we'd come home occasionally. But I remember specifically when we finally moved permanently back to America. I retired from the Army, and I remember specifically going into a Walmart. And over in Germany, you don't have many choices. You go into a store, it's like two brands of cereal. You go and there's like one brand of this and one brand of that, or you got to go to another store for their brand. I stood there in Walmart, and I, for the first time in my life, sensed without any barriers the presence of mammon, the spirit of mammon. For the first time, because I'd gotten used to less, and you get back and you're like, more, 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 more. That's the spirit of mammon. We want more, and we think we got to have more that'll fill the gap, but it never fills the gap. Only God can fill the gap. And God would rather fill it with blessings than have his burdens placed upon us. Are we infected? Are you infected with the mammon virus? Well, there's an antidote. Giving. Obedient giving is the only antidote to materialism. We've got some really great examples of that here in our church. People who could afford to live way higher than where they're living and how they're living, but they choose to honor God with everything that they have, and they give. We are a giving church, but Connect Church, I want to be honest with you during this series. Well, I hope I'm honest with you every Sunday. We are a giving church, but we're not a tithing church. Can you imagine what would happen if we all begin to tithe? God wants sacrificial disciples, not selfish donors. He wants tithers, not tippers. But see, our hearts reflect it when we go out to the restaurant later. I won't ask you to raise your hands, but we gyp the waiters and waitresses. You know, they're getting $2 an hour, and they live off their tips, and we kind of think they owe us. They're going to come and serve us, and we don't typically want to go above the tip, the 10%. You ever notice why? You ever thought about that? Why the tip starts at 10% on the little sheet of paper, the receipt you get? Think about it. Tithing is a test of whether or not we act like, walk like, talk like, and behave like Jesus. Aren't you glad Jesus wasn't a tipper? Giving is a sacrifice. Hear when I say this. It is a sacrifice. And sometimes it hurts. Sometimes we feel that sacrifice. So did Jesus. And he didn't hold back a thing. God gave us his very best, his only begotten son, his first fruits. He didn't hold back a thing. And I love this because God says you can test him, and we got to know, we got to learn to trust and believe that God will pass the test every time. But you have to step out in obedience and trust him in order to experience the blessing. I think about the Sea of Galilee and all the disciples, and only one, even in his jacked upness, decides to take the step of faith, and God did his part. He starts walking on the water. Peter's walking on the water. And only when he took his eyes off of Jesus and focusing on what he wanted, because he told him, come out to me. Then he began to sink. It's the same way in our giving. We want to step out, but we've got to take the focus off ourselves, and we have to place it squarely on the Savior. God will pass the test. And God will do what he promises according to Malachi. He says he promises to open the floodgates. How many want a floodgate of blessings? Man, I do. And this is not name it, claim it. This is a promise from God. And if we will open our hearts and we will do our parts, if we will open our hearts and our wallets, God will open the floodgates. But there's an if. We have to test God in this. And 10% is 10% to whoever it is. Tithing is also a tool. I love Philippians 1:6 because I cling to it. I hold on to it. It says, I'm sure of this. Paul said this to the church at Philippi. I'm sure of this, folks, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Tithing is a tool that helps us grow spiritually. It helps us move from one beginning area on to where God wants us to be. It helps us unlock our spiritual potential as individuals, but also a church. When we begin as a corporate body, begin to do what God asks us to do. There's a problem. We are born selfish. You ever notice that? You notice what do babies do good? They cry, they eat, they poop, and they sleep. When God's people, we're just like that. We're like babies in our faith. We gripe a lot. We cry. We want someone to spoon feed us. When we're not doing what God asks us to do, we generally make a mess of things, right? I mean, think about it. But giving helps move us from the baby steps, the infant stages. It starts beginning moving us along the continuum of spirituality. Toddler steps. I always remembered watching all that when the kids took their first steps. That's a big deal, isn't it? What did you do as a parent when your kids took the first steps? You're like, yeah, you can do it. Yes. Let's go get the video camera. And then they don't walk anymore. But we applaud that. We encourage that. And I believe that when we begin to take those steps of obedience that God wants us to do, that I think heaven burst out and said, yes, you're getting it. You're moving forward. You're not staying in the baby stage. You're making the next steps of progress. And then the kids begin to run. And then they begin to get on bicycles and they learn on training wheels. And pretty soon they're riding a bike. And pretty soon they're going to driver's education. And pretty soon they're buying and purchasing a car. And pretty soon they're taking care of all this, and it's a growth step. But so many believers are in the infancy stage as it comes to giving. Tithing, that's the wheels that get us on the path of spirituality. Tithing is the first step, besides giving your heart to Him, that gets you where God wants you. Tithing is the starting point, not the stopping point. I want you to consider this. You remember the story where Jesus was talking about the observing people's giving just outside before they would enter the temple. And the Pharisees, man, they had all their quarters on them. You know, everybody could hear it in the metal container. And then here we see a widow who gave two mites, not worth anything to mankind, worth everything to God. And Jesus told his disciples, she's given way more than them because she's given everything that she has. Consider this. Does God really expect less of me? A man, a woman, who has this Holy Spirit residing in me, who lives in the wealthiest society in history than he does of a poor Israelite? Does he expect less of me than an Israelite? Jesus never lowered the standard. He always raised it. Let that sink in. Every New Testament example, for those of you that believe that tithing is an Old Testament example, every New Testament example of giving goes beyond the tithing. It never falls short of it. Never. And so for us to become all that we want to be and we desire to be and we dream about being as a church, there's an if there. We have to do our part. And the reason that many people can't give is because they don't give. That'll preach. The reason that people don't give, they can't give, is because they don't give. So as we kind of wrap this up, and next week I want to talk to you, and I hope you'll come back. You know, the crowd thinned a little bit from last week. I expected that. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being courageous to come back. Bring a friend with you next week. Because we're not talking about a get-rich-quick thing for Connect Church. What we're talking about is to get in line with God's heart at Connect Church. And so, yeah. But I got to tell you some facts. Last year alone, only 45% or over 45% gave nothing back to God. Going to church is cheaper than the matinee because you don't pay anything. You get free coffee and donuts and yogurt and granola bars. Man, what a deal. And many of us show up. Can you imagine just trying to show up at the Bass Hall or at a sporting event and not expect to give to get the blessing of the experience? But we do it. So let me ask you this question. Are you in that 45% plus? We're going to be what God wants from Connect. Everybody's got to do their part. Everybody's got to do what God expects and has written in His Word. Say, well, where do I start? Where do I begin? It begins with the tithe. That's where it begins. And you'll not experience, you know, we just want to get just kind of throw a tip in there and expect God to. God, the Heavenly Father, does not bless disobedience, but He loves to bless through obedience, because of obedience. Let me ask you this question. What if you showed up tomorrow? What if I showed up tomorrow? And because of budget cuts on your job or my calling here, they said, you know, man, we got to cut costs, so we're going to reduce your income by 10%. Would that hurt? Come on now. Would that hurt? Would you die? No. So if you won't die because you had to take less than 10%, you've just admitted that you can tithe. You are able to tithe. You and I both are able to tithe. We pay our taxes, yes, even though it's begrudgingly, we pay. Why? Why do you pay your taxes? Why do I? Because there's consequences not doing it. You know, Jesus even paid taxes. Now, he had a unique way, and I hadn't found that fish yet with the coins in his mouth. Actually, that's not true. God has provided in some ways. I just want you to know I prayed for you this morning, that God would begin to bless you miraculously, that he would increase the blessings on your job, that perhaps you might get a refund check that you didn't expect. Perhaps you get a promotion that you weren't expecting, that God would just begin. And has that ever happened to you? There's been times we were, you know, we tithed and it was like, oh God, but we knew that obedience is obedience, and so we would tithe because we love God, and we on the checkbook it made no sense, none. And we'd get in the mail a check, a refund check from a insurance claim, or somebody in the church left us an envelope that was exactly what we needed to get through the month. Someone would come by, and we didn't have any food, because I was a private, we didn't have food when we first got married sometimes, and somebody would bring by in the church, brought us a ham that we ate for a week. I like ham. God provides. God, there was an event that the church was holding. I remember this. We were stationed in Monterey, California, and I was going to language school, and the church announced this big event, and we just kind of put our heads down and walked out of the church because we knew we couldn't afford it because it was in Monterey, California. Actually, it was in Carmel by the Sea, this event, where Clint Eastwood lives, or used to. It was a great big event, this country club, and I said, man, we sure wish we could go, but the reality was it didn't make sense on paper. We'd given our tithe. And you know what happened? Somebody in the church, God spoke to their hearts, and they came over and gave us two tickets and a babysitting voucher and said, ride with us. And we got to go to the event and get out of the – we just had a blessing. I don't believe that would happen. With my heart, I don't believe any of those things would have happened had we held back from God. We pay our taxes because of the consequences, because we know there, if we don't tithe, there's going to be taxes will have consequences. But the reality, the hard reality, is many times we don't give because we don't believe that there are consequences to not giving. And yet I read the Bible and it says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's standards never change. Somehow we've gotten in our heads as church that somehow we have our own standards and God, they're better than God's. There's not a one of us here today that can manage our money more than God can and better than God can. So you got to ask, what do we do about all this? Now what? Connect Church, friends, and if you're a guest here, wherever you land, we'd love to have you here, but I say this often. If God led you here, we want you here. If he didn't, please go somewhere else. Go where he's leading you. But wherever you land, whatever storehouse you wind up in, contribute. Tithe obediently. But along with prayer warriors. We love prayer. Well, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that we, you know, giving. And prayer is, it's our communication with God. Don't hear me say I'm negating that. It's very important. But God doesn't just need prayer warriors. He needs giving warriors. He needs to know I'm all in. He needs to know, and Connect Church needs to know, you can count on me. Church, I'll tell you, you can count on me and Karen. I don't know if that's good grammar, but it's the truth. You can count on us. We're going to give obediently. And we're challenging you and encouraging you and asking you to begin to give obediently and watch what God will do. Can you imagine if every seat in this place was filled? Can you imagine what we could do if everyone in this church began to tithe obediently? I can. I can. I'm hoping and praying and believing that I will finally be in a church where God's people tithe. I've never been in one yet. But I believe it's possible. And your heart for God is evident by your being here today, knowing what we were going to talk about. Now, we've talked about the special offering, and I'll talk to you about that in just a second. But what I want you to know is it starts with the tithe. If you'll just start there, we'll begin to see God's blessings. Now, what we're asking you to do on top of that is not a tithe. This is extra. This is if you can give to help us jumpstart and move into the future as a church, to consider trying to give. If 100 people would give $1,000, that was my example. But, you know, there are people in here, in our church, believe it or not, that could sit down and write a $10,000 check. There's people that can write a $5,000 check. There's things that we can sacrifice self to give towards honoring the Savior. Every one of us here have ways to be able to give obedient. But everyone has a way, too. Well, get creative. Get creative and go online and text the word COUNT, COUNT. And at 817-677-9700, and you can give. But that is above your obedience level. This is a offering. This is something because you want to leave behind a legacy. You want to contribute to leaving a legacy. We can make together some amazing investments into the future by reaching more families, by reaching more people for Jesus Christ. Just think about for a second the legacy we could leave together if we were to build a playground for the kids. Not that are here. Of course, they get to use it. But for the children and families that are not yet here. That down the road when you get my age or older and you drive by and you say, God help me participate in that. I was a part of that. And you see that parking lot full and you see all of the things that God can do. There's so many things that we can do. We can upgrade preschool toys. We can clean this car, really change out the carpet. There's some things that we can do. And we can honor the community and show the outside world that we are doing everything we can do to fulfill the obligations of the loan that we have to stay in this building. So we got tithes. Starts there. And then we're asking you over the next, until the end of the year, to contribute, if you can, $1,000 or more or less. But what you can do, honestly, you can do, that'll be a sacrifice. And we're never more like Jesus than when we're sacrificing like Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I fully recognize that this is the subject. This is the subject that everyone in this room struggles with or have struggled with. And yet this is the one issue, the only issue I can find, God, where it says we are to test you. God, you are faithful. God, you are a promise keeper. You are a God of blessing. You are a God of provision, and you never let us down. God, can we say that? That we've never let you down? every head bowed and every eye closed. I would like you to consider and encourage you to make a decision this morning with a statement that says, God, you can count on me. You can count on me. And God, your bride, Connect Church, where I go, where I support, where I'm growing up my family or learning in my faith and growing. God, Connect Church can count on me. God, what we're asking is for your prompting that would change hearts, which would change everything about us. How we serve, how we give, how we live, how we talk, how we go. God, I'm believing you for miraculous blessings to fall on this church as we surrender all to you. Now, this morning, if you don't know Christ Jesus as your personal Savior, that's your first step. Because until he has your heart, you won't experience the major blessings that he's got planned for your life. You said, man, I know of Jesus and I've heard this story, but deep down inside, I don't know Jesus. I know of him, but I don't know him. I don't have a relationship with him. Then today would be that day. Today would be that day to say, God, I don't understand it all. It's okay to say that. But I do believe that Jesus died for my sins because your word says so. I believe it. I believe that he was crucified in my place. He paid for my sins. That he died, that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. And I believe he's coming back. I don't fully understand it all, but I believe it. And today I want to say yes to Jesus and no to self. I want to surrender my all to you. I want to say yes to you, Jesus. Please come in and take over my heart and fill my life with your presence and your guidance. If that's you this morning, then I encourage you. Just a few moments, we're going to start singing. I'm going to be standing down front. I want to encourage those of you who have yet to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to just come take me by the hand and say, I said yes today. Jay, I said yes today. For those of us who are already saved, who've already said yes to Jesus, I want to open this whole area down front. We're going to call it the altar. We're going to call it and designate it a holy place because the Bible says where two or more are gathered in his name, he's there in the midst. So we're just going to clear this area down front of the stage as holy. As God leads, and only as he leads, would you just step out of your seats and come and kneel and do business with God and say, God, you can count on me. Help me. Connect Church can count on me, God. Help me. Help me be obedient to your will and your word. But more importantly, help me be aligned with your heart. I love you, Lord, and I know so many here do. We love you. But there are areas you're working on, and this is one of them. So, God, have your way, have your will in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you would stand, we're going to begin to sing. I'm going to step down in front, and if you just want to come and pray about this issue, if you want to come and surrender, this is the day. Don't wait to be obedient to God. Don't wait to align your heart with his heart, your will with his will.